السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
Hey Dad.
هلا يا حبيبة.
Welcome back.
الله يحييكي.
How have you been?
I have been aging.
No. No.
Truly aging.
You're a young one.
الحمد لله.
Why are you saying that?
Well, just lost one of my molars after 2 hours of operation in my mouth. It was like a construction site.
Yeah, it wasn't the wisdom. It was just one of the molars, right?
No, the last molar, and it was not an easy.
So the one
thing
after the wisdom.
The one
you removed,
yeah,
your wisdom teeth as a man.
On the lower jaw, not on the upper jaw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in my early 30s.
Alhamdulillah,
salam. Allah yisalmik. It kept me dizzy for 2 days, disoriented.
How are you feeling now?
I am almost back to earth.
Okay.
Almost. Amazing how the smallest thing can. وخلق الإنسان ضعيفا.
Yeah.
How weak we are.
Man was created weak. Yeah.
We have a saying. The Sufis have a beautiful saying. ضعف بين ودعوة عريضة. ضعف بين means weakness that is so clear, obvious weakness.
Yeah.
And a broad claim. The human claims so much while his weakness is so obvious.
Yeah. Speaking of Sufis, GQ Middle East finally posted an article about Sufis. And it's not to say GQ specifically, but they're the first magazine that I've personally seen that posted about Sufis. And I even left a comment. I was like, it's about time we got the love we deserve. It's the love we embody. But Sufis, subhanAllah, recently have been, you know, they've been getting some love.
SubhanAllah. Allah Kareem. Allah Yaftah. May all the hearts open. May all the eyes see.
InshaAllah.
Allah Kareem. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well. I'm booked and busy. I started boxing recently.
Should I get alarmed?
I loved it. I think it's concerning my love for boxing, like how much I loved it. I literally messaged Adham, who's training me, the first time we tried it, and I was like, I want to change all of our workup schedule, make it all boxing, send me the website for the gloves, what equipment do I need to get, like, yalla. And he was like, calm down. Twice a week boxing, twice a week weight training. So we balance it out. And I was like, no, I just want to box every day. But he obviously, ma'uha. But alhamdulillah, I also started running. Now, I don't know if I've said this on this podcast before, but many a time in personal private circles, I've said, I don't understand people who run. Like, why are you running? What are you running from? Where are you running to? You know? But I started running and I kind of love it. I love it.
You've inherited everything that I don't have.
Yeah, because you're not a boxer, but when you were in your like fit days, you were gymming, but were you boxing?
Never. I did the gym for like 5 years just to firm my body a bit.
You were great. You were in tip-top shape for some time.
Yeah, not really, but I was okay.
Yeah, you were.
But I was never attracted towards sports or even when I was a child. I was such a top student that I have stories to say when I was young. The football coach will give me the ball and will ask me to throw it on the center of the playground and just go sit. so they will give me an A in sports.
Oh, otherwise, not to ruin your grade. Yeah,
not to ruin my grades. But I wasn't fat. I wasn't. It's just that I didn't have a bone in me that wanted to compete.
So it's interesting that you're talking about this because Zimo, your son, and I, my brother, had a huge, never-ending argument over the summer about competitiveness. And I was saying, I'm not competitive because I don't look at people who are... And I don't go like, I need to beat them or like play Monopoly and go like, لازم أربح or play cards and be like, nyeh. It's just, it's not in my nature. I'm like, it's a game. Do you know what I mean? Zim was like, no, losers aren't competitive. And I was like, I'm sorry, which one of us owns a company? I'm going to need you to be quiet. But no, that's just me being sassy. But we had a never-ending argument over competitiveness. And he was saying it's a good thing to be competitive. And I was saying I disagree.
I disagree.
So, but the three of us, Shireen, who's my sister, my brother and I, we all have a sporty athletic side, which is crazy because Shireen is a like yogi master. Zemo had a black belt in Taekwondo. I got the belt right before black and then I stopped. But even now, I'm like, I do the pole gym, which is the calisthenics for like females, basically. I always say it's the females' calisthenics. Now, boxing, running, I love weight training. It's interesting.
Well, it might sound unfair to say that if you... It's actually unfair to say that if you are not competitive, you cannot excel. Well, if you are really an exceller, if you are really at the top of your game, you don't need to compete with anyone. There is only you to come. I don't know how he said it, but
he was just
saying
the act or the feeling of being competitive.
That's feeding your ego.
I agree.
Rice and chocolate.
I agree. I'm going to send him this clip.
Budding
and then he's going to be like, you and your dad always just stand with each other. And
yeah,
I'm so sorry. Right. He actually sounds really good in English. I don't know why I said it like that. But he's just going to be like, you and your dad are just like besties and always stand by each other.
Subhanallah, he's a unique boy. But no, competitiveness is not... They kind of market it to you as if it is supposed to be a male thing. And all males are supposed to be competitive. Well, if that's true, how is it that males are the one known to create teams and work together? And you know, in reality, women are way more competitive.
I think women are more competitive.
Yeah,
than
and that's
men.
Why they fail to create team and work together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will preface this by dad is saying they're capable of doing so, but in the majority and the nature of them, they fail to do so.
Well, they're capable rarely. Reality is women tend to keep on comparing each other and
I agree.
And competing with each other and we said before that the comparison is the seed of all evil.
Yeah.
And that's why they
it's
cannot
a thief of joy.
Yes. They cannot hold the fabric of a group for a long time. And there are many incidents we can talk about, but
it's been an interesting week, female friendship-wise. I've learned a lot.
Well, I always tell you not to be open. I mean, be accepting. And so, but generally speaking, it's difficult.
It is. I think, here's the thing. I don't think the majority of people, by their nature, want to be bad or evil or depressed or do wrong upon others and upon themselves. But they're almost, due to indoctrination and this sense of we live ego first, without even realizing everything we've been taught, everything we say, everything we do feeds the ego first. So we move in an egocentric way. And before you know it, you're an elephant in a china shop and you don't even realize left, right, up, down, center. You're just causing chaos and mayhem. You know what I mean? And I don't think people intend it, because I understand that al-amalu bin-niyat, but there comes a time where it's like, okay, you need to recognize that maybe it's you. And that's okay.
You see, first, I'll talk about two things. It takes... at our times, it's very difficult to sell anything positive because the demand is ready. And opulent.
You mean in the sense that like violence sells, sex sells, nudity sells, that kind of
bad
thing.
Bad ideas sells,
yeah.
Competitiveness sells.
It's the devil's play market.
Thank you. Mm. So it's easy to sell anything which is destructive and negative.
Yeah.
You just, a little bit of coating. If you have one of those color sprays, just sit over it and and then it's done. Because the market is willing and ready.
Yeah.
But when you start to put things that are genuinely true, it means that they need to erode and remove such layers and layers of this built-up mental, emotional, and so-called spiritual garbage.
Yeah.
And who's willing to do so? Who's willing to do so? In reality, most of people, most of us, are guarding their garbage. We are the hoarders of thoughts and feelings. We laugh at those people who hoard garbage in their houses, But we do it internally.
That's true. You know, I do think about that sometimes when I watch these hoarders and how they've hoarded garbage or clothes or whatever, and their house is, for lack of a better word, a pigsty, and then there's these shows where people come in and they clean and whatever. And you've always told me, yeah, they've come in and they've cleaned it for the show. Give these people a month or two or three and it's back to the way it was, because that's a mental thing, and it's layered, and there's so much more nuance to it, which I fully understand. But I fully agree. We are all that. It's just the hours metastasizes in shows. It doesn't show physically. It's a mental thing.
Huh? Those hoarders.
We just hoard in our minds.
Yeah, those hoarders just surpassed us one step further. What is in their mind now is reflecting on the physical reality.
Yeah.
But we kind of, and that's why you find a lot of those hoarders were obsessive cleaners before.
Really?
Ah. You see those, you have two types. Those people who are obsessed by over cleanliness. I met people that cannot shake hands because they are afraid of germs.
Crazy.
I met people that spend 6 hours daily washing their hands and feet. Their skin is wearing out. So what is the difference between them, the hoarders? Nothing. It's just manifesting in a different way.
Manifesting. Obsession. I don't know. I said metastasize. What
did
I say?
Metastasize is a word we use for cancer, when cancer moves to other organs.
So it's still accurate.
It's still accurate. Absolutely. Now,
yeah.
This is one. The idea that it's very, very difficult to sell positivity.
Is it?
Yeah, وأكثرهم للحق كارهون.
تمام. But when the book The Secret came out, why was it such a bestseller?
Because everybody used it to feed his own egotistical mania.
You think so?
Yes.
All right. All right.
Well, there is a lot of truth in it. But when you find a young woman who's, and I'm talking, because I try to keep in touch with the media nowadays for the sake of this podcast.
Yeah.
I didn't used to do that before.
Yeah.
And I watch some of those. When you find a woman who's doing the worst of things you could think of, selling her body on the internet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
She says, I am manifesting wealth. No, you're not manifesting wealth. You just...
Well. I know. So the thing is now, there's this whole conversation about freedom of speech and whatever. And it's something that I get a little bit, maybe it's my, what's the word I'm looking for? Ignorance. But this whole concept of freedom of speech, I find very bizarre. Because it's like, okay, yeah, you can have freedom of speech, but that doesn't mean you can't be, maybe the government will get you, but it doesn't mean there are repercussions for what you say. And I'm like, but then that means if you say something I don't like, I can have repercussions for you, but then someone else. It's the whole thing is a little weird. So people like who are OnlyFans models or adult filmmakers, as they call them, or whatever, and they can say and do whatever they want because it's like autonomy and freedom of speech, but then it's like, it's getting a little muddy, a little blurry.
This dilemma for us as traditional Muslims was never an issue.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because yes, we do. I am a believer of free speech, but free speech that comes from a certain threshold of morality.
Right? You need to, like, generally speaking, be a moral person before you can. I don't know. I think also, here's the thing, because when you said Islam, and I understand that I don't need to justify or explain, because the audience here is mostly spiritual or religious or looking for a spiritual religious outlet. But the hate that I've been getting on some of the old Muslim videos, like that every day I open and there's 5 new comments of like, Islam is a cancer. Islam is the devil's cult. And I'm like, I understand that there's a propaganda machine of like trying to feed into, they've found that there's like, a propaganda strategy of like 30 million fake users who just go online every day
that's
to like
what I wanted to
yeah
tell you.
To spread hate on Islam, yeah. And I get it, okay, but like every religion, the Abrahamics or not, or the non-Abrahamic religions, are beautiful in their own way. If they bring the person away from the ego and to an anchor that can help better themselves and everyone around them. So they all have a purpose and a reason, and they're here to do good. But that doesn't mean that every religion doesn't have a source of evil in it. Be it someone from the outside coming to twist the words and make it horrible. Be it good people on the inside who are naive and follow wrong people. From all the religions I've mentioned. So I find it very bizarre when people have this insane attack on Islam that's uncalled for, if I'm being honest, because one or two people that they want to emphasize were horrible. Yeah, but we can bring horrible examples from every religion. And a leader who used Christianity to get his way, and someone who used Buddhism to get his way. This is human nature. You don't reframe religion to fit someone's discrepancies. The religion stands the same. The people change.
I can tell you that those who have spent time studying history in any way or shape can maybe agree with me. There is no religion that has not had its share of attack, manipulation, abuse, and use. And this is very simple. The procedure and how to do that is very simple.
Yeah.
It's been done again and again and again. I think it will be done more. It's just to take the spiritual call of a religion and bring it down a notch and make it a bunch of thoughts and ideas. Because religions are not a bunch of thoughts and ideas. Because there is one nature about thoughts and ideas. They always want to hammer.
To clash, yeah. To clash, and debate and argue.
And argue. And that's not that. You know, one of the things I used to hate as a young man is seeing those debates between Muslims and non-Muslims.
Yeah, I still don't like them today.
I still don't like them.
These Dawah bros in the streets,
I still don't like them because it triggers a lot of anger and a lot of... And then
and
you
vitriol.
Could see...
And I... It's an interesting one because, sorry I interrupted you, but it's one of those things, and you'll know who I'm talking about, so I'm just going to talk now about like personally and then the religion and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But I don't like putting my Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in a position to be dishonored or insulted, God forbid, not that anyone could, but when I'm trying to bring the beauty of Islam through social media or just sitting here and talking to you, my father, about certain miracles or blessings that have come through this beautiful religion, the vitriol that our religion and our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is exposed to online, not that it touches us, it doesn't touch us, God knows what it does to these people, but it's getting so, the hatred is just too much. And I'm not, generally speaking, a sensitive person. I don't really get affected by these things, but the velocity and the amount and the viciousness, how it's just like raining down, you have to question why.
The whole idea in Islam is to lead by example. And no bigger or more illustrative example than Indonesia. And I'm talking about the bigger Indonesia, which includes Malaysia, which includes Brunei, which includes even parts of...
Do you know
which
my podcast
Philippine.
Is number one in Brunei?
MashaAllah.
Yeah, on Apple Podcasts, we're number one in Brunei because they're a Muslim country.
MashaAllah.
Is that crazy?
Assalamu alaikum, ya ahl Brunei.
Alaykum salam. We should go visit. Is it a nice country? I don't know anything about Brunei.
I know little.
Is it the one that's all white?
It's a beautiful, small country.
Is it the country that's all white? No, I'm confusing it. Because I was watching this
documentary. The country that is all white is Turkmenistan.
Oh, okay, sorry. Sorry, yeah.
And
I'm going to Google Brunei after
what
this.
What was I saying?
Bismillah.
You see, this is the fogginess of the brain.
No, this is me interrupting you. I'm so sorry. Mm. You said the beauty of this religion and then countries like Malaysia. And
yes,
then you said Indonesia.
The bigger Malay region, which includes all Philippines, which includes Malaysia, which includes Brunei, which includes and even Singapore. How did this place became... By the way, it took them 300 plus years to turn Philippines into a Catholic place. Till now, in Manila, there is a place called Sultan Qatabatu, the last Muslim sultan that was there. That was a Muslim country by excellence. Now, how did all of this area become Muslim? Through the example of some some traders from Hadramaut and Yemen, and then from Oman.
Mm.
So they were simple, genuine, honest traders. I remember me dealing with some guy from Scotland in the 2006-2000. He didn't even know that I'm a Muslim, because I kept these things for me.
Yeah.
And then we had a kind of big dealing, which was, and he recommended me to someone. Like, I will not take your, I will not lie to you, I will not take his money, because this and this and this happened with him. And he narrated the story, which usually the market will not allow it. You pay a down payment, and then you pay it back because things did not work out.
Okay.
I did pay it back, because I didn't want his money.
Okay.
And that was something that doesn't happen usually. It's a couple of millions. Why would you pay it?
Yeah.
But I was taught by my masters that give it back.
Yeah.
That will not make you rich.
Absolutely.
So it's by example that you can bring people to your mission, to your light, to your, if you have any.
Mm.
But if you have none, you know, this conflict, this conflictive sense of argumentative brains.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
I don't like it. I have no interest in it. But I understand what you're saying. So a lot of the times, on this podcast, we're also just talking. Some of the clips that I post aren't necessarily, they're all, everything I'll ever say is in essence Islam. Because everything I know, everything I say, the way I move, the way I talk, the way I deal in business and money and love is from an Islamic lens. That's just how I am as a human. But some of the clips that we post on social media, there's not always the mention of Islam or Muslim or whatever, right? And then obviously, you know, some videos go viral, yada yada, you gain followers. After some time, people that have been following you for a month, two, three, and then I'll post a clip that speaks, for example, specifically about an ayah in the Quran or a hadith, or anything Islamic related, and it'll be clear in that video it's Islamic related, and I'll get the comments, "Oh my God, you're Muslim? Unfollow."
Yeah,
so you can lead by example, and that's fine. I'm happy to lead by example, but I'm also what I'm saying is just the hatred for our religion is a little bizarre.
It's easy to sell hatred. It's easy to sell anger. It's easy to sell discrimination. It's easy to sell vanity. Anything that feeds this monster called the ego, it's easy to sell. There is a huge market for it.
Speaking of ego, we should go back to what we were talking about, competitiveness. Because we didn't...
That's a criteria. That's a basic criteria of the ego. And yeah, it is true. Men can be competitive to a certain degree, but if they don't know how to stand against this competitiveness and team it, create teams, so they can stand against whatever threat they have or whatever the requirements they have, they vanish. They learn how to do this. They vanish. Okay.
Do you think women are... Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so women are more competitive than men?
Because, yes, Baba, because it's all about emotions. You know, most women are owned by their emotions.
I agree.
And it's very difficult to talk to a woman and she tells you, I think, she'll tell you, I feel.
Yes. And even more often than not, when she says, I think, she means I feel.
But she means I feel.
It's interesting because I think, just from my personal experience, I think with women, it's not just competitiveness in the traditional sense where you think, oh, they're competing for a title or a man or an Oscar or the World Cup. It happens in sneaky, nefarious ways as well.
Oh, yes,
I have recently been attacked by someone. How do I even say this properly? Just this insane attack, without even recognizing that they made the mistake, I handled it with grace and let it go, didn't even bring it up, and then they turn around, and because I handled it with grace and I let it go, it's like, oh, do you actually doubt me? Oh, do you actually doubt me? And I got attacked, and then when I was like, I feel like I'm being berated right now and attacked, who's attacking you? You're being childish. And I was like, up, up, up. This is very bizarre. It just, women don't even realize, and I love my women, but they need to, actually, I don't even know if I love them anymore. Two episodes ago, you heard me here say I'm standing with the women. Now I'm like, I don't know. But the women, they do it to themselves and they don't even realize. It's so much hacky, hacky, hacky. This is women in a nutshell. It's a lot of yappa, yappa, yappa. And a lot of I'm like this and this is my worth and this is who I am and this is how amazing I am. And then a lot more yappa, 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 defending what they think they are and how they should be treated and what their value is. And then even more yappa, yappa. And before you know, they've crossed so far out where it's like, which one are you? I can't tell anymore because you say you're something and then you're behaving in a different way. And I can't keep up with all your personalities anymore.
You know, before the grandma, the mother, and the tight knit of wisely elderly women were there to kind of curb this attitude. You see this in societies. You see it also in animals. Some animals that do live in big schools or big herds, yeah, have this attitude. Have this. They learn this for survival. They need
like elephants.
Like elephants with males, yeah, for example, and elephant with females.
Yeah.
You would see how the herd leader, the female, the kahuna, the big one.
Yeah.
How does she behave with her other sisters or daughters? It's amazing, but that's needed for existence, for survival. We lost this. And women now are left for their own feelings. And there is this horrible media directed to them just validating all of those feelings.
I know. It's also... So we've talked about this before, Kiman. And I think it has to do a little bit with competitiveness. It just shows in different ways. But how the grass is greener on the other side.
But that's how women...
Yeah. And I've recently come to face-to-face with this where I was basically speaking to a woman, and in order to justify all the wrong that was in her life, just kind of trashed on everything she'd been doing the past year or two. And I was like, that's a very strange way to handle situations. Because I'm all for trial and error. You can try something and fail. You can try something and succeed. You can try something and succeed and not like it. And you can try something and fail, but love it and want to try again. Trial and error is a beautiful way to discover who you are and how you behave in certain situations. What I am not for is the complete disrespect when you fail. Like everything is wrong with said trial and error, but nothing
is wrong with
you. And again, we take the word like something is wrong with you. That means you are just a horrible person. No, the beauty of discovering something was wrong is that there's the ability to fix and to improve and to add more beauty and life and joy and knowledge into your life. What's the point of being right all the time? I will never understand this egotistical stance.
You see, it might sound unfair what I'm going to say, but I will say it.
Please.
We are children and we behave in a certain way.
Okay.
We grow and we behave in a certain way.
As children behave?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
We grow and we're supposed to behave in a certain way.
Tamam.
Now, the process of growth is not always as easy as it's meant
to be. It's not linear, as they say.
It's not linear. Now, if you tell a child that he did something wrong, the whole universe will collapse. He will come down and he will cry. And no, it's not me. And he try to defend himself. Because for them, it's not the thing that they did is wrong. It's them that are wrong at that moment.
Like their entirety, holistically,
exactly,
are wrong. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's a childish behavior is what you're saying.
Exactly. And women need to understand that what they're doing is one, it's an attribute that is left from childhood, grow through it. Because
yeah,
it's going to really change a lot in your life. If I tell you the meal you cooked is not tasty, it doesn't mean that all your cooking is not tasty.
And that you're just a horrible woman and a horrible
And you are
homemaker.
A horrible woman and you are a horrible wife and I'm going to divorce you and our life is over and you're worth nothing and... Well, all of those conclusions came because there is no restraint on the feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, we are meant to do wrong things and learn from them. So what is the use of of trial and failure. So I learned from my mistakes. If everything wrong is somebody else's mistake,
what's the point?
What is the point?
You haven't even tried. You haven't failed. What is You're the just point? There.
And you could see that the need to be right is one of the basic pillars of feminine, I don't know what to tell you, satanic state of mind sometimes. Because it really kills all joy. For God's sake, it's such a good thing to be wrong every now and then.
Yeah.
It's humbling.
I agree.
You know, I have seen myself with women. It's the smallest thing. And how they go and come and like, Baba, it's just the wrong turn in the car. Just let go of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Baba, it's just an egg that cracked. Just let go of it.
Yeah.
You don't have to blame the hen.
Yeah. People struggle with letting go, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Why?
Till you understand what lives within you and start to appreciate it for how evil it is and how controlling and how demanding it is and start taking steps to correct the situation, mm-hmm. you are a slave of your own ego. Mm-hmm. That's why. It's because the ego does not own that, does not accept it.
Yeah.
The ego claims to be God. The ego claims to be perfect.
I agree. The ego does blame. Sorry. The ego does claim to be God because this inability to let go of things, especially if something didn't transpire the way you wanted it to, the inability to let it go is because it should have gone another way because you decree it should have gone another way. Your ego says, I refuse to accept otherwise. Therefore, I refuse to accept what God has chosen for
then
me.
Then who's the God then?
Then your ego becomes the God,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That the inability to let go is very egotistical and then demonic.
Demonic. See, all humans are this holistic, divine combination of part which is angelic from the angelic realm, part which is animalic.
And hedonistic.
Yeah.
So I started this podcast by saying I think most people en général, don't wish to do harm. But then there are the select few.
The select few,
Abdus-Salam, who are Satan's right hand.
Well, it used to be the case.
I think there's more now.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more now. I agree. I don't think most people want to be evil, but I think there is a lot of evil out there. Do I think most people wake up and they're like, what disastrous, nefarious things can I cause today? No, I think most people are barely scraping by and managing their own demons and ego, granted. But I do think there are a select few, especially in these times today, that have a nefarious entity within them. They are here to cause chaos and they are evil. They just want to come and do you and those around you harm.
Yeah, then there are plenty of them, more than
we know. I agree. That's why I think it's also so important to be awake. And this is why I say things like, listen to what people tell you. Pay attention to how people behave around you and how they move with you. Because 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, they always show you their intentions, how they feel about you, what they want to happen to you, what they want for you. It's always there. It's always there. Clear as day, clear as this blue sky. You just have to really open your eyes and pay attention because, yes, there are a lot of good people out there, but there are also a lot of evil people who really want to cause some severe harm.
Yeah. See, evil feeds itself. It needs to grow.
You mean like the snake?
Yeah, very much. Very much.
Yeah.
And it's just fertile ground.
Soil, yeah.
Fertile soil.
Yeah, I agree. I think without the right upbringing, without the right relationship to Allah, without the right book to follow, you are like the fertile soil that's just, you know, waiting.
I have been blessed. I have been really blessed because I could think of anything. I could analyze anything. I could dissect anything. And I'm willing to let go of all that I thought valuable to me before, if I discover it is not, it is not what it is.
Tamam.
And I've done this in many, many stages in my life. And you see, the I getting so much attached to the common.
To the what?
To the common.
Common, yeah.
What you have got used to.
Yeah, understood.
Is one of the basic tools that the ego uses. Mm-hmm. And again, our mind is very weak. Mm-hmm. And our mind is very, what is the right word?
Malleable?
Not only impressionable. It's enough to repeat a thought three times from three different sources. So for
I told you this.
Thank you. And
I posted a video about this. No, I was in Jordan and I posted a video about Palestine about it's enough to hear something three times from three different sources to believe it as an ultimate truth.
Yes.
And that's why I said be careful about what you hear from Palestine. Not from Palestine, sorry. Be careful about what you hear when they keep telling you it's all men. Men ain't shit. Men don't matter. Men are toxic. Men are worthless. I like to use men and discard them. I'm like, because before you know it, you watch Palestinian men and young boys die and you don't care because they're men. So even if you think you're a forward-thinking, empathetic human, don't underestimate the indoctrination, because as spiritual and as enlightened as we all like to think we are all have succumbed to some form of indoctrination. So before you know it, men are a little less. Men don't really matter as much.
I do believe that the level of indoctrination that we all go through is beyond
what we even think it is. I agree.
We don't want to believe it. We don't want to see it.
I know. I agree.
Because it's
Candace Owens talks about this, like the MK Ultra and the CIA and stuff, and she's like, it's things out of movies that you don't even want to believe or see, but it's so beyond true. Like, there's such a level of depth of indoctrination. But I've said this before, our music, the shows that we watch, the things that you hear crossing in the street, the pictures that we see, even the soft core nudity of like selling a bag and the woman's half naked, you don't even realize it, but before you know it, you're desensitized and extremely indoctrinated, and you you don't even see it.
I remember once I saw this ad for farming tractor.
Okay.
Yeah. With a woman in yellow sexy bikinis driving it. And I'm like, how is that happening?
Sex sells.
Where in the world you would go and find such tractors being...
Jebediah Jr. Ain't wearing no yellow bikini. Mm.
But subhanAllah.
Dania's going to laugh when she hears my Jebediah Jr. joke. Because I told her, because I'm so like MAGA, or I was like funny MAGA, where I'm like, I'm more on the Candace Owens side. I'm a little more conservative, but obviously not MAGA. But she was just telling me, like, you have to come visit America and I'll take you to all the southern states. I was like, I want to go visit all the south with a red MAGA hat and cowboy boots, and I want to meet a Jebediah Jr. So that was like our joke of the summer. So she's going to hear this and laugh. And then she's going to text me, you said Jebediah on the podcast.
When?
Wouldn't I thrive in the South of America?
No, you wouldn't.
Really?
No, you wouldn't.
I feel like I would thrive.
That's a feeling.
Yeah, it is a feeling. I would have to have... But no, actually, I would thrive. Let me prove my point. I will show you there are Muslim cowboys now. White boys who've converted to Islam.
That is true.
In their head and going like, Alhamdulillah. And I'm like, that's my Jebediah Jr. I would thrive in that part of the South.
SubhanAllah. اعرف الحق تعرف أهله.
But these boys also, they're really like mahdumin, they're very cute, like they're handsome, they're easy on the eyes, but they're American, like white boys with Abu Lihye cowboy boots, the buckle, cowboy hat, and he's just saying assalamu alaikum.
In my early 30s, I used to write. Maybe I told you this. I used to write, and
I know this. I get my writing from you.
And I
Baba, I'm so sorry. I'm going to say something just off camera, please, about writing. Remind me to tell you something, please. Okay. It's off camera. Okay. I can't say this on camera.
So I wrote a series of articles. They were published, actually, in a certain magazine.
MashaAllah.
But I stopped because I really didn't feel that this is what I want to do. And I actually didn't like exposure by the nature of me. So one of the things I wrote about is I called it the Maoism of Islam. How we attaining Islam into a Maoistic form of... Mao in China, when he made everybody wear the same clothes. And
like communism.
yes. Everybody should look like this way and dress that way and do this way you prove
and
to
all
be a
like
Muslim.
Like Build-A-Bear from a factory looking identical.
But my argument is our Hajj before was a carnival of colors and flavors and tastes. Mecca was extremely colorful. Of course, we all go into the white ihram. But then after ihram, what happens? Everybody wears his own traditional clothes before. Woman in their North African clothes, woman in their Syrian clothes, woman in their Far Eastern clothes from Malaysia, from India. All those kind of cultures had their own. You would tell a Sudani that he's a Sudani from the way his wife dresses and he dresses. But they all had a certain code of conduct. It was all Islamic. We didn't all have to look the same and dress the same.
Yeah.
So that's how Islam can actually incorporate cowboys and more. You can be whom you are and still be a good Muslim.
Yeah. I agree.
Habibi.
You can. I think... But we've talked about this before, that our religion is the most adaptable, it's the most flexible in terms of being able to be in any country, in any society, and still be able to live in a very Muslim, beautiful, Islamic-centric way without losing your roots and your traditions. And you could be anywhere. You could be in Vegas and still be a Muslim. I agree, fully.
Alhamdulillah, I remember me traveling to most of Europe. And when the time of the prayer comes, it's like, I just need a chair and a corner. No, we will do this and that for you. That's fine. No.
Yeah, we don't need to inconvenience people.
Yeah.
I think that is the beauty of Islam, that it's not an inconvenience religion. You can pray anywhere. You can break your fast anywhere. You can make zakat anywhere. Everything about our religion is to not inconvenience the abd, the follower of Allah. It's made so that we can follow it with as much ease as possible. I will add, though, any form of discipline has some inconvenience to the ego.
To the ego,
but
yes.
But when you let go and you just Islam, surrender, it's like flowing, it's like water.
And that's why we go back to the point we talked about, which is the freedom of speech. If you maintain that threshold of morality and check, because there is a discontinuous check on yourself, what is right and what is wrong, and then you speak.
I think if it's... So, I agree fully. I think also if you had the right characters and moral boundaries around you. I think, for example, in America, because you have left, deep right, conservative, new age, neocon, their freedom of speech has turned into like just vitriol and fighting and hatred because it's so opposing, and you don't have anyone around you to kind of be like, no, this is kind of where the boundaries are. With us, it's like, even me sometimes, I find myself like my tongue lets loose and you'd be like, oh, I'm gonna need you to reel it back in. We don't say that. And I'd be like, okay, fine, we don't say that. And I don't need to question it. And it's not about being a woman who can't speak her mind. It's not about that at all. It's about enough obedience to understand that my dad genuinely has my best interest at heart, knows my religion enough to know you've transgressed your boundaries. And those boundaries are defined by God, not by man.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Very much. You see, in order to sell a corrupt set of thoughts, one of the easiest way is to create chaos, mayhem, and then
pandemonium.
Yeah, and then come and offer yourself as a savior. Alhamdulillah.
I agree, but this has been the history of mankind.
It's been the history of the devil. And some of the mankind are
adopting. Okay, devil's been around longer than mankind. Yeah, so this is the history of mankind.
Yeah.
I agree. We're going to end. Did you want to say something?
It's this إن الحق بين وإن الباطل بين.
Yeah.
This conflict between right and wrong, dark and light, shall continue.
Yes, always.
As long as there is one human.
Until the end of times, Aboud. Alrighty, I posted because people love my quotes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the quote queen.
You are the
iconic
quote
for my quotes. Yes. Okay, so I'm going to read you some of the quotes and let's see what we have to say. So it was the thread that I posted. Did you even see this?
I was too busy lately.
Okay. All right. So first one was fall for the soul. The face has betrayed
that,
many.
That was nice.
You saw it. That was a nice one, right? Okay. This one was beautiful, okay? In the darkness, the strongest souls don't search for the light. They become it.
Can we talk about the first one first?
Oh, you have... Okay, I thought you didn't want any to say anything. Yes. Fall for the soul, the face has betrayed many.
You want me to tell you what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi
always said,
which means this and much more?
Naam.
إياكم وخضراء الدمن المرأة الحسناء في المنبت السوء.
Translate for the audience.
خضراء الدمن is the shady big tree that grow on a garbage dump.
Yes.
I think we said this before.
We did.
And he, عليه الصلاة والله وسلامه على بيته الكرام, he said, he gave it as an example. Prodigy, what is it, you call it, prodigy? As an example, illustration. خضراء الدمن, which is this great tree that grow in a bad...
in a landfill.
In a landfill, in a bad environment, is like a beautiful woman that grow in a bad society, bad family, bad heritage, bad upbringing. This tree can give you a fruit that can kill you.
Yes.
And this woman, with her attractiveness and beauty, can actually destroy your life.
Yeah.
So it's the same. Look at it.
Fall for the soul, the face has betrayed many.
Yes.
I agree. Do you know, the thing that I love about this quote, fall for the soul, the face has betrayed many, is I remember in high school, there were three girls that were really, really good friends. And it was known, one was the most beautiful, second was like the cutest, third was like the duff, the ugly friend. And I remember meeting those three girls. The first one, the beautiful one, opened her mouth and I was like, okay. Second one opened her mouth and I was like, okay. The third one, the duff, opened her mouth and I was just mind blown. Beautiful, sweet, kind, funny, witty. Became one of my closest friends. And till this day, I view her as one of the most beautiful people in the world because she's just genuinely a heart of gold. And those objectively pretty girls, I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, forgotten about them.
And
it is, this might be a little bit of a harsh take, but I think beauty is very subjective.
Bad news to most women. Although we men are attracted by beauty in the beginning, but the one that stays with us is the one that has a bit of mannerism and attitude and knows how to create a bit of peace around you.
I mean.
Like, beauty cannot last for too long.
Like
if a woman understands how the brain of a man works.
But if the men also understood this, I am so sorry because I hear it all the time. As a man, in my prime, looking like this, with all the money that I have and all the options, why would I go for you? Okay, relax, bro. Relax. Relax.
Yeah, let's take his clear...
I understand, but his prime will wither. His money, God can take.
If everything withers, but at the moment, the thing is, at the moment, this is whole at the moment. Because, you see, I am now bargaining with you to buy this fruit. I know this fruit, if it stays on the shelf or even in the refrigerator for a week, it's gonna be ruined. This is the cycle of life.
I understand, but these men who are claiming that they're the alpha, alpha, alpha and have all these options and why would they go for her and her because they can pick the creme of the creme. And then they go to what they consider, because this is very subjective, la creme de la creme, and then they just basically treat her like an asset, throw money, throw whatever, get what they want in return, and she is none the wiser, or maybe she is and this is what she's agreed to, tamam? Subconsciously, or maybe even very consciously, you think he doesn't know what he's doing and that she's accepting it? You think he still respects that? in his soul. You can't. That's why I'm saying human relationships have to, at the end of the day, no matter where they start, they end with God. So if it is not godly, and if it's not heavenly, and if it's not mawadda wa rahma, it will dissipate.
It starts and ends with God. And if you take God of it...
It can start with the devil. God's going to come and end it.
It should start and end with God.
I know. But what I'm saying is, why I said it ends with God no matter where it starts, is because sometimes it can start in demonic ways or whatever, and it ends with God, either in a good way or a bad way. Bad in the sense that you will be destroyed, or good in the sense that maybe both of you do find God through each other. No. That's what I meant.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Yani at the end of the day, it's all the raja'a lillah. We all going. When il maharab?
Yeah, where are you going to run to?
And who wants to run?
You'd be surprised.
I don't.
You don't? I don't. But you'd be surprised who's running all day, every day.
See.
But that everyone's running away from God and they don't even realize it. Actually, I'm not going to say everyone. A lot of people are running away from God and they don't even realize it. Through music, through words, through the thoughts that they feed themselves. And they don't even realize that it's pulling them so far away from God. To be kind to yourself is to also be tough love with yourself. It's the balance of tough love, but also the pat on the back, the mawadda and rahma, first and foremost with yourself before with anyone else, that brings you closer to God. Most people don't even realize that their negative thoughts are taking them so far away from God. But you can always come back.
If it starts wrong, it ends wrong. There is no other option.
Yes, but not always.
It's always.
But no, that's my point. It can start wrong, but by the mercy of God, end back with God.
Correction in the bath.
Yes.
That can happen.
بس في مسحة أرض الطريق.
لا شك.
Yeah. Okay, do we wrap it up?
الله يحفظك يا أمي.
Because I'm very hungry and mommy's waiting for me in the mall to go spend my money.
No comment.
No, haram. She's waiting because we have to buy her a suitcase. The wheel on one of her suitcases broke. And I promised her I'd take her out for lunch.
الله يحفظك يا أمي.
I love you so much.
I love you too.
Thank you for today's episode.
أحبكِ الله ورسوله وصالح المؤمنين.
أحبكِ. So I'm gonna share a little secret. I don't know if I'm ready to share the secret. No, I'm not gonna share it.
Share it.
No, I was gonna say like why I say حبيكي, but that's just personal.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
I'm not gonna share it with people.
That's a child thing.
It is. All right. Love you, Daddy.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.